But we won't dwell on that anymore. Those of us that are here are going to have a good time. Thank God for the rain. Man, I don't know about you, but we got a bunch. And this is going to be a beautiful spring. So, Thomas St. Pierre, would you stand and introduce your new wife to us this morning? Hang on, let me get you a mic. Thomas was married just this last week.
I'd like to introduce to everybody, this is Christy St. Pierre.
Enough of that.
Yeah, no, yeah, we were married Valentine's Day, and Leanna and John did the honors right here, and we just had a nice little quiet service ceremony, and very thankful for the Lord's generosity. He is good all the time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Thomas, and welcome, Chrissy, to the family. Absolutely. God bless you guys. Thomas has been through a lot, and the Lord has brought him through a lot and is an overcomer, and we're thankful for you all today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make sure this thing is on. Nancy Mucky came up to me. You probably saw her talking to me. This is almost comical, but a wonderful testimony. Just share in your own words what you were talking to me about. Another example of the goodness of God. How many know He is good? Yes. What about the rest of you? How many know He is good?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I felt like somebody needed to hear this. It's not a big deal, probably to any of you, but for me, it was a big deal.
That's a heck of a way to start.
I know. Okay, it's a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
Anyway, about 6 months ago, I had cataract surgery, and my eyes improved so drastically. I did still have to wear a contact in the left, and I wore contact lens for 30-plus years before that. I did have to still wear a lens in the left eye, which is just to help me see far, like to read the TV, the words and stuff. But I could see without the contact even. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday. Anyway, I woke up one morning and I went to put my contact in, and it wasn't in the container. And I'm like, where is it? And then I wondered, well, I wonder if I put it in my right eye accidentally, you know, like the day before and hadn't taken it out or anything. I looked everywhere for it. And so I just thought, well, it fell out somewhere. So I just went on about my business, but several days later, I was still realizing, thinking possibly I had put it in the right eye accidentally and it was stuck somewhere. So I went to the ophthalmologist, and they checked it. They checked both eyes thoroughly. They did a health checkup that my eyes were perfectly healthy, so there was nothing going on that would require surgery or anything like that, but my vision definitely had changed. Well, 2 weeks, I think, to the day, I woke up without even my left contact in. I was seeing perfectly again. And all that time, we'd been praying, God, restore my vision. And the ladies had laid hands on me the Wednesday 2 weeks ago and prayed and agreed that God would heal in Jesus' name.
Because you didn't know at that point what was going on.
I didn't know for sure, but it always felt, when I'm looking out, like I could not even read the overhead. I can read it fine now, but I could not read it last week. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I really want to be able to read the overhead, you know? And so I woke up 2 weeks later, could see again. And so Tom and I were just, thank you, Lord. We had prayed every night before we went to bed, God, restore my vision. And so then I was just like, wow, God healed me. I told Tom that. Well, that night, I went to take my left contact out, put it in the container, and looked down. there's a contact. Now, I had cleaned the floor. There's no way it could have been there before. But I think, other than God just miraculously restoring my sight, I think the contact fell out. The doctors had not been able to find it. And God allowed me to find it. Therefore, God did restore my vision, helping me, because that contact was stuck in my eye, and it would come down when I would look, but they couldn't find it. When they searched and searched and searched, and I couldn't find it. So it's kind of comical, but
it is.
I can see again. I give the Lord all the glory, no matter what.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, Nancy. I mean, oh, God is good. That is a neat testimony, for sure. How many know the Word of God works? And saying that, let's turn in the Word of God this morning. Glad you're in church this morning. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And before we get there, Chad Nanke, would you come up here and stand beside me, please? I was going to say Ephesians. Turn to Psalms 103. How many enjoyed this guy this last week? And I always hear tremendous, tremendous stuff. And I was especially intrigued with the insight that the Lord had given him in reference to Psalms 103. And the thing that stood out was what you had ferreted out about abuse in reference to the word iniquity. Remember that? How many glad this morning that we are overcomers? Not victims. Today it's popular to be a victim. Say with me, I'm not a victim.
I'm
an overcomer.
Yes.
I'm not looking for love. I found love.
Yes.
Love
Amen.
Lives within me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Are you reading it? Psalms 103. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Who forgives most of my iniquity. Oh, I'm sorry. And heals some. What's He do next? Huh? Redeems my life from destruction.
Yes.
And then He does something with the noggin. Go ahead, what's the next one? Satisfies your mouth with good things. How many are glad today? For the fulfillment. When he prophesied that, he had no idea what was going on there. Powerful. How many would lift your hands together with us this morning? Chad, thank you for ministering to our body. Thank you this morning. We're delivered. But where are you going? We're delivered. Delivered from the state of sin. Abuse no longer defines me. I've been refathered. Reborn. And if you're not this morning, you're in the right place. I'd love to lead you through a simple prayer with heart belief. Find out what it's like to be new. Here's what the Bible says about the new creature. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Well, I remember years ago they used to get into that generational curses and inner healing and just dig back and dig back and dig back and play Holy Spirit psychologist. How many know the Holy Spirit doesn't need a psychologist? He's the healer. Leads us and guides us. Makes us new. Aren't you glad today for Jesus? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, any woman is in Christ, anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Say with me, my past no longer defines me. I'm brand new in Jesus. Hallelujah. The future's so bright, I got to wear shades. Chad, tell us one more time about that iniquity thing. Would you?
Yeah. Amen. Well, iniquity, what that means, if you were here last week, was not only God forgiveness of our sins. He could have said, who forgives all your sins. It didn't say that.
It didn't say that.
Or all your trespasses. But iniquity wraps all of that into one. So what it also means within our soul realm, those areas that are crooked, those things that we can't see. Amen. God died for those things in our lives. And sometimes I think our past, things that happen in our past as we go on life, tend to make us crooked, make us to shun back from other people or shun back from our God. But because he has delivered us, set us free, washed all our iniquities away, no skeleton in the closet, no such thing as a skeleton. There's a lot of us, depending where your background, have had things we're not, you know, that we're not proud of. But we can't allow any of those things. It doesn't matter what it was or what happened to you. Don't let that define you at all. Past things where people have hurt you, brought great woundedness, that God has died for that, that does not define us at all, that God forgives us, that we can, again, because of God's blood, his Holy Spirit living in us, we can relate to one another with an open heart, no walls, right? So many times because of the past things that have happened to us, they put up these walls. We don't even realize it. And we can't have a relationship just this way. It's got to be this way, too, as a body. If we're not growing together, each one, we've got a different calling, different purposes that it talks about in 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, and 10. It says to cover, it says forgive each other of our sins. It says his love covers iniquity. And then it says whatever gift God has given you, use it. Manage it well.
Yes.
It said to minister to one another. So my gift is not just so I can look good. It's to minister to you, and your gift is to minister to me. But if we let those past wounds or things that have happened to us, we put those walls up and we're ineffective. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have things that have happened in the past. We've all been wounded, by the way. King David, whom he looked to, who was it that he looked to that brought him into his palace, Saul. And then Saul turns around and wounded him big time, was chasing after him. And King David did not allow that to shape his future.
Right.
He didn't hold that against him. He didn't allow that wound of betrayal. Even Jesus, his close one of his disciples, betraying him. That's an example to us that there's going to be those that betray us or those that wound us in life. Even especially those that when you were young, my goodness, abuse to children, that God can cleanse us and heal us and we become confident in him. We don't have to go through life like we're a second-class citizen. But he has filled us with his Spirit. And calling and purpose. And I love that God takes the things that look the most wounded or look the most ineffective and makes us effective for his kingdom.
Come on.
How about you?
Preach it.
If you feel ineffective for him, let him know that his Spirit wants to work in you and use you for his glory. I think people that look like, hey, I have nothing to offer God. Man, God loves to use people like us in this church that look like we don't have anything to offer. It can be in the business world. It can be in ministry, in your families, whatever the calling is, and God can use us mightily. But the thing is, it's going to be God that gets the glory.
Yes.
Because as Pastor Lee says, he says, hey, if God can use me, right, Pat?
That's right.
So just know that regardless, don't let those past things, I don't care where you're at right now, amen? Don't let the past define you at all. But I see it all the time. I talk to people who are still holding unforgiveness, fathers. I'm not saying what happened to you is okay, but you can forgive and you can move forward. It doesn't have to affect you even a little bit. You're not those second class citizens in God, in Christ, amen? And we can move forward together as a body. Chino Valley Family Church.
Absolutely.
As a body,
amen.
Flowing in the gifts and calling that each one of us has, not just
yes.
Pastor Lee, not just Chad. When I arrived at this church, man, I was at the end of my rope. I could tell you the testimony. I'm serious, I was at the end of my rope. As I've been here 10 and a half years, me and my wife, trudging through, getting past things that were difficult, having weeks where I'm like, man, I'm just blown it. I'm a knothead. But I'm going to be in church Sunday morning.
So I just kept coming when the doors were open, listening to the word, being there during worship, letting God work in my life. But I realized that it wasn't going to happen just me and him in my prayer closet. It was going to happen with me in the body, serving with you guys, learning how to deal with difficulties, learning how to deal with different personalities, growing, learning how to serve my leadership. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? I said, isn't that a hard one? My boss can tell me what to do, but nobody at the church can tell me what to do. But serving one another. I'm just saying, learning to serve one another.
You need to repeat that last phrase. I like it, brother. That's good preaching.
But learning how to yield to one another. That's when we really grow. Until we learn how to yield to one another, we really can't grow into maturity. Because it's not just us. And a lot of times those things that people have done to us, we put those walls and we say no more. Maybe it's a wall with your husband or your wife. Man, let the Lord touch you. You know, when you have a wall up, what's that mean? Nothing's getting in. And a lot of times it means the Spirit of God working in our lives too. We don't realize we're putting a wall up against him working in our lives. We don't mean that. But God made healing a body thing, not just an individual thing. Amen? So what I learned through that iniquity is that abuse, that attack, that Satan will attack people, things that have happened, and then we kind of get stunted right there. We don't move on. It ends up, what it looks like is we can go church to church, doctrine to doctrine, friendship to friendship, relationship to relationship. And the Lord is saying, let that wall down. Let me work in your lives. Learn to work with other people to grow together. Amen?
Amen.
We're growing together as a body in Chino Valley Family Church.
Amen.
And I thank you right now, Father, in Jesus' name, as a body.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, how precious the church is. It's amazing. The creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus, who died and rose again on the cross, says, I'm going to do this thing through a body, through my church. I don't get it quite. I don't understand it. It seems weak. It almost seems like ineffective. It almost seems like, Lord, what are you doing? But he chose to do it this way, together, as we grow together. As Pastor Lee even preaches today, or as you're listening to the word right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Every time we get together, the Lord has given an opportunity for us to learn to see him a little bit clearer. Lord, thank you. We're seeing you a little bit clearer right now in Jesus' name as a body. Lord, we know you're working in other churches as well. We thank you for that. We're not against any other body, but Lord, you've called us to this body. This is our portion. This is our lot, as King David said. You've called us to this body if this is your body. This is where you're going to work on us. This is where we're going to grow. This is where we're going to be effective out in the marketplace, whether it be in business or on your job or in your home, Lord. It starts right here, Lord. I know that because you said it's the body, the church. Different pieces. We got different, you know, some a thumb, a finger, a toe, whatever it is. You ever tried to have a real sore, big toe and try to walk? Well, it's not easy. We need to, right? So whatever it is, it's not menial. Whatever that is, and it grows. As you yield yourself in serving one another, boy, God starts building you. You start growing in him. The Lord starts promoting you, whatever it is. It may not even be in here. It could be out there. But I'm confident that it starts in here.
Amen.
Because his word declares it. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
I'm doing like Lord. Pastor Lee. I started out praying, and then I end up preaching.
Amen. Preach, pray, praise.
Can't
worship
help.
A little.
Love Pastor Lee and his ministry, and Jackie and their ministry. Amen. What they've done in our area. Amen. The calling. God is the one that... Working through Pastor Lee and Jackie and their ministry, but God is the one that established this church.
Amen. That's
I'm
right.
I'm confident of that. It
Amen.
Wasn't man who established this church. How many agree with that?
Amen.
It was
Amen.
God. Father,
Amen.
We thank you for it in
thank
Jesus'
you for
name.
It.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and be dismissed. That's powerful. Thank you, Lord. That's good stuff. I was kidding, Thomas. See? It's not just you. He was ready, but I'm not. Boy, that's good stuff. And if you're here this morning and you've suffered abuse and you've never dealt with that, when we dismiss, I'm going to go up here and worship with the team, and I want you to, and you two, where did John and, is John here? And John and Leanna, forget your computer, stand here. There are some people here that can minister the Spirit of God to you and let the healing power of his love flow into you this morning. What a powerful message. Amen. Thank you that you have forgiven us of all our iniquities, healed us of every disease. Can you give thanks this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 3. And I appreciate so much, Chad. I said filling in for us. He doesn't fill in. I don't even like to use that term. He doesn't fill in. He ministers fully while we're gone, and I'm so thankful. I bumped into, maybe I was talking to you on the phone, John Harris. He said, man, he just went right down, just hitting areas that I personally was needing to hear, just right down the line. And so we appreciate so much the gifts in the body. And with that, once again to Ephesians 3, where we left off the last time, 2 weeks ago. I don't do this very often, do expositional teaching through verse by verse, but I really felt led of the Lord to move, take the book of Ephesians and move through. Powerful book. I'm not going to go into the history of it. We'll do that, a refresher as we move through it in the future. But this book right here is a power pack, for sure. We're going to pick up where we left off in towards the end of chapter 3. We'll start once again in 15. Before we go there though, how many have been reading forward in Ephesians? Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, where we're headed. This book is certainly supernatural. And there's a reason why, after he firmly establishes the work of Jesus, the power of his resurrection, he references the exceeding great power of God that raised him from the dead. And why that was so, because you and I were raised together with him. Talks of our position in him, in Christ, and where the enemy is as a result of that, under our feet, begins to speak more of that work of salvation through chapter 2. The fact that while we were yet, what a mind-blowing verse, while we were yet dead in trespasses and sins. Think about that. He made us alive together and seated us in the heavenlies, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you take just a moment and see yourself there by faith? Not an easy thing to see with the earthly mind, but the Bible says that the work of Jesus caused me to be seated, you and I to be seated together in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? In him and he in us, awesome, okay? And then he winds up here. He begins to speak of the love of God. And so often we read through these verses, and what you said this morning was so God. It just absolutely dovetails supernaturally with where we're at this morning. Once again, the love of God is seen. And there's a reason for that, because in chapter 4, he begins to pull all this together and say, now, this great salvation, this great positioning now in Christ, all of this is for a purpose. Christ must be seen and experienced in the earth, and he's chosen to do it through his body. These are not easy things to move through in a lot of cases. I mean, our area, and maybe it's everywhere, there are so many broken churches. And the result of that is so many people that are burnt out on ministry and leadership and afraid of commitment and afraid of abuse, and it's just, it's crazy. Never was God's intention. And here's the trap. The people would say, I'm not going there anymore because I've been hurt. I'm not going there anymore because I was abused. And we lose out on the most precious, most powerful. Listen, this morning, if you're in Jesus, I want you to say something with me. Because I'm born again. Because I'm a new creature. God himself, by the Holy Spirit, lives in me. For I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am called. Come on, say it with boldness. I'm called. I'm anointed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says you have an anointing from the Holy One. I'm anointed. I'm appointed to a ministry where my giftings make a difference in my world and those around me. Amen. I'm not looking for a title. Not looking for a position. I'm looking for an opportunity. Come on, I lost you. You're still talking. Come on. I'm looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Letting the love of God rise up strong within me. For the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm a difference maker. I'm the answer. Some of you get trouble with that because, oh, Jesus is the answer. I'm not. Hold the phone. Jesus told them to go out. He said, you heal the sick. You cleanse the leper. You raise the dead. You preach. You do these things. Peter, at the gate beautiful, responds to a man who is begging. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. I mean, if you're in Jesus, we know that we're not saying that I'm the healer, but the healer is in me and we are one. We need to stop that kind of stinking thinking and realize that I am in Him and He is in me. We are one and He has commissioned me to be Him in the earth. Now that can be a dangerous thing if we think we're going to walk that out alone. That's why He's called us to a body. That's why He didn't give all the gifts. Jesus had everything in one package. But when He died, was resurrected, established the new covenant, ascended into heaven, He gave all that He was to a body. That's why He gives to each man. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says He gives to each man severally as He will. Charises, gifts, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. These are supernatural abilities in the Spirit to bring life and wholeness to those around us. How many are glad for Jesus today? This still is the truth. Amen. Where was I at? So we are called, anointed, appointed. Come on, people, you're here today. Come on, say it out loud. I'm called, I'm anointed, I'm appointed. You got to realize something. When you're born again, you smell different. In the Spirit, some of us smell different, but that's another thing. Why did I say that? In the Spirit realm, you smell different. And that's why it's so important that we get a hold of the truth of this book. Because so many in the body of Christ have not embraced the completed work of Christ on the inside of them. And when people are around them and they hear their language, they see their reaction to situations, when they see anger, when they see spite, it's confusing. Because you smell like somebody different, but you're still acting like this old person over here. Paul, again and again through the epistle, says these things should not be. The rest of the grace message is he absolutely loves you. He absolutely has forgiven you. There's never, ever again a hitch between Him and you, but His desire is that we would reflect His love, that we would be Jesus in the earth, that people would see. Nobody's going to be perfect, but I'll tell you what, we've used that as an excuse way too long, and grace as an excuse for, well, that's just me, and behaving however we want to. That's not the gospel. Paul here says in 4, this is where we're going. This is why he puts such great emphasis as he's tying up the first half of this book in the end of chapter 3. He brings the love of God to full center and full force, because what he's getting ready to introduce is going to take not just any kind of love, but it's going to take the love of God flowing in a group of people, a local body, amen, to bring impact and change to the world. So he wants to make sure that this love thing is nailed down, because here's where he goes. I want you to look ahead. We'll cover this again, but look at where he starts in chapter 4. He now switches direction. He's nailed down a foundation, but right here, he now switches direction. I remember there was a young man a number of months ago. I just briefly, thinking ahead of being in this teaching, I briefly mentioned chapter 4. And it threw him because he thought it was saying, it's because that's what we hear all the time. Religion reads all that we saw in 1, 2, and 3, but when you get to 4, if you're not taught differently, you revert to, okay, now I have to behave in order to be loved and used of God. That's not what this is saying. But what he is saying, because you are loved of God and the love is in you, there's a way for you to learn how to look like and behave like who you are. It's not behaving to become. It's because you are now. Let the love of God in me begin to express outwardly who he is on the inside. Look at what he says. Chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That's King James for beg of you. Notice the change in terminology. This is no longer law, do it or else. You'll see this throughout the epistles in the New Covenant. The way things are expressed are very different. It's not an unconditional command. It's a plea. Let these things. Philippians 2, let this same mind be in you. Here we see Paul saying, I beg of you. Based on all that we've talked about, I beg of you now that you walk worthy of your calling. Say one more time with me. I'm called, anointed, and appointed to a divine purpose. One more time. Say it out loud like you mean it. I am called, anointed, and appointed. And Paul here is saying, because of these great truths, I beg of you that you now walk in a way that is worthy of who you are. How many love Jesus today? He says, I beg of you that walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Next verse, with all lowliness. And meekness. Somebody have a different translation? What's another word for lowliness? Long-suffering, gentleness. There you go. King James gets a little convoluted. Lowliness, gentleness. You got another one? Humility. Another translation. All these draw on what... Here's what he's saying. Because of this great work on the inside of you, now that I've established this and nailed it down, I beg of you that you now walk like, talk like, behave like who you are. Religion says, do those things to become. How many are glad we're not becoming, we are? One with Jesus. But now there's a work to be done to let what is on the inside. I love Philippians 2:13. I've shared it with a lot of people as a promise for children and grandchildren and family members that knew the Lord and have drifted away from the things of God. I said, if they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that means that there was a work done on the inside of them and that that has not changed. And I said, Philippians 2:13 is a wonderful promise, and maybe you need to hear this morning, for it says, it is God who works in you, Devin, both to will and to do of that which pleases God. That's a good promise for me, and it's a good promise through me for those in my own family. They may be drifting, But God is working in them. Have you ever seen that before? Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you. Well, Jesse Ann, what in the world? Chad will help you. Did you get a machine a little over your head? That's okay. Katie called my phone a suitcase this morning, so we got Amen. All right. So where was I? For it's God who works in you both to will and to do. So here Paul is saying, I beg of you that you now walk. We've been conditioned to, you know, right here, as I'm talking about this dialogue, okay, we're getting ready to do a huge advance in the church and start pulling on people and dragging you into different ministries. This is the way we used to do things and form committees and teams, and there's a place for that. But people, I'm tired of driving. Okay? Let this be a whole new way of hearing it. Let's talk about just you and your relationship with God. Letting these things just begin to fill you up in your personal everyday life, on your job, with the people you deal with. It will make you a less petty person, make you less sensitive. The more whole you become, the more confident you become in the love of God for you and the fact that you're calling is to reach out. The more you're aware of that and walk and live in that, not only will you experience the blessing of God, but it will make you a pleasant person. People will want to be near you. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Lee. You know, us Pentecostals, we want to hear about miracles and talking in tongues and people falling out under the power. Listen, I'll tell you what, that all has its place, but we're way, way out in left field. We need to come back to the love of God. It's in this that the power of God endures. And Paul here nails this down solidly before he goes anywhere with devils and church structure, and marriage, and child raising, and on and on and on. Before this, he says, in so many words, he's saying you can't really be an effective Holy Ghost dad until you've let the revelation of the love of God fill you and engulf you, where you're no longer parenting out of reaction and fear. You're parenting with confidence and love, and young men and young ladies can see that, and they're drawn to you. They're not afraid of you. I'm glad that my boys to this day, and I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging on the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you the word works. Like Brother Osteen used to say, I'm not bragging, I'm reporting. My boys to this day are not afraid of me. They honor me. And then, Pastor Lee, that hurts what you're saying because I've already made mistakes. Stop that. Stop that. Don't go back there. Remember his sermon on iniquity? It works all the way around. Today is a new day. One day with the presence of God engulfing you and flowing out of you can completely cause a son who's in his 40s to stand back and go, wow, Dad, what's going on? Love makes all the difference. Boy, it's quiet in this Catholic church. He says here, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. Paul gets into the nitty-gritty. He starts telling husbands how to treat their wives and wives how to treat their husbands. And don't provoke your children to wrath. And you who are members of the body, serve one another. Get under leadership. That's not popular anymore. Oh, I ain't going there. I was hurt there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond. Unity, think of that phraseology. The unity of the Spirit. This isn't just any kind of unity. Unity of the Spirit in the bond, held together with the bond of peace. This is why we hear new covenant commands that are less commands than they are promises and pleas to walk in. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. That's another place where he uses that. King James uses that word beseech in Romans 12:1. I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, not by the law, not by constraint or obligation, by the mercies of God, that you now present your bodies. I've taken care of the inner man. We're joined together, Romans says. One, now I beg of you that you present by the mercies of God. How many are glad for the mercy of God? By the mercies of God, that you present your body a living, aren't you glad it's a living? Living means life, joy, fulfillment, happiness, purpose. Say it one more time. I'm called, I'm anointed, and I'm appointed to make a difference in this world. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Seven. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, come on. Okay, here we go. All right. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We'll talk more about that later. For there is one body and one Spirit. And he begins to move on through this. We'll spend more time. I didn't need to even go this far today because I want to go back and finish chapter 3. But look at where he's going. One Lord. One faith. There's something that'll mess with your religion. One baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all. I love the next one. Through. He is above all. I'm glad he didn't quit there. There are still people singing. You are high and lifted up. That's Old Testament terminology. And your train fills. Now, I understand what they mean, prophetically speaking, of the completed work in us, but there are still people that worship in temples all over America, worship God afar off. He is high and mighty and exalted. He is all of that, but he is much more now in Jesus than that. He is above all and through all. Come on, people, are you here today? Through all. How can this be except for his great love? Through all and in you all. Paul was a Southerner. But unto every one of us, you think you're here this morning and somehow you've been disqualified? We were talking this morning, nothing compares, singing, to the promise. Here's another one. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He moves in here and he says some strange and awesome and wonderful things. Wherefore he saith, now quoting David out of the book of Psalms, that great prophet and king. Quoting David, he says, wherefore he saith. David was amazing. Deserved death. We forget who he was. And what he did. I think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was in men's Bible study. Wednesday mornings at 7 o'clock. This is a man who was a worshiper. Was simple. Trusted God. A type of Christ. And yet wealth, fame, and status, a kingdom that built up beyond belief, caused him to somewhere along the line shift to the degree that not only did he commit adultery, but he had her husband killed. This is the guy we're talking about. You feel disqualified this morning? Let that settle in you a minute. That's in your Bible. David, I think it was in our men's group. David, I've said it before, and it's really inaccurate, that David received grace on credit. God always was who he is. David punched through to a time ahead of his and presumed upon the goodness of God, and God did not disappoint. He deserved death. But there came a point where he said, I'm not getting anywhere in sackcloth and ashes and weeping and wailing. I'm going to get up. If I die, I die. But I'm going to get up, take a bath, anoint myself, and step into the temple and worship God. And God said, that is a man. He's different. But that's the guy we're talking about. And here we see the Apostle Paul quoting this man who again and again, I mean, his prophecies are eerily, exactingly accurate. Psalms 22 is a mind blower. Speaks of the nails, his side, the soldiers casting lots for his garments. Incredible. And here he is being quoted by Paul. He says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts. Speaking of Jesus. This is David speaking in the Old Testament. Gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascendeth, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, speaking of the work of Jesus, tasting death. I've heard people say, and I don't agree with it, just in case you're wondering where we stand doctrinally, I don't believe Jesus became sin literally. He took upon himself the sin of the world. I don't believe Jesus had to go to hell, but he went to hell in this sense that he experienced, but for a moment, the Father, this is Isaiah 50 if you read it, Isaiah 54, turned his back, but for a moment, he experienced separation from God. Spiritual death, tasted it. So that we would never, those of us who believe, would never have to ever again fear the rejection, the turning away of God. He took all that for us. That's pretty powerful. And Isaiah 54 promises, happened once, it'll never happen again. I will never again, Isaiah 54 says, Isaiah, that great prophet speaking of our Jesus, I'm very glad for Jesus this morning, said, I will never again be angry with you, for I will establish a covenant of kindness and peace that will last forever. We're in that covenant. It's about time the church wakes up and realizes God is not mad at you. If you still have that in you, then the minute we start talking about walk like who you are, you're going to go right back to works and think you're doing stuff to qualify. You're qualified by the blood. Now the world needs to see somebody who doesn't look like a hypocrite. I said look like, didn't call anybody one. I'm very glad for Jesus today. You're never going to be perfect. You're still going to blow it. The difference is when you do, you'll admit it openly, you'll ask forgiveness openly, and love will prevail. Your strength and your leadership, even in the middle of your failure, will rise to a new place as you're honest, transparent, and real, letting the love of God in you. The minute our kids think that the standard is perfection or else, and that can be church kids, home kids, us kids, I'm very glad for Jesus today. Is this talking to you at all? You didn't know all this was in this little book, did you? Much more. Look at it. I wasn't going to go here, but I guess I will. We're already here. And he gave some. He gave some apostles. You know what an apostle is? Apostle is a foundation layer. The beginner of works. Not a hot shot. Or the big time. Paul said it over and over again. I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the least. Well, that's completely different than the stuff we're hearing right now. Give some for to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he gave them for this purpose. King James says, for the perfecting of the saints. Not the best translation. What would more accurately be put there based on the Greek is for the maturing of the saints. You ever been around a 70-year-old that still behaved like a teenager? Don't look at me like that. Have you ever been around a 70-year-old that still behaved like a teenager? Touchy? It blows my mind. I'm always bragging on the older folk, but today you're gonna get your balance of this. If we wonder why young people are the way they are, go to Walmart and watch the people in their 60s and 70s, and you'll know why we got a sour generation. We love talking about this young generation. I tell you what, man. Unbelievable. There's a few times I was so tempted, excuse me, and they just glared. And I wanted to say, excuse you. Now I was in trouble. Buddy Robinson, the great stuttering revivalist of, I believe, late 1800s. The older he got, his great guy, man, powerful man of God. Terrible stuttering. Yet when he would preach, the word of God would just flow. Lives were changed. Tents and barns and open-air meetings all across this land. Buddy Robinson, the older he got, said, the older I get, my prayer is that I will be a sweet old man. Now that may sound whimsical and cute, but he was saying something way, way deeper. He was recognizing in himself a tendency to become cynical and having been through a lot of things and seen a lot of hurt and experienced a lot of things, to begin to become something that he never thought he would be. Our words should be seasoned with wisdom and love. We should think before we say some of the things that we do. Is this okay this morning from a grace preacher? Slow to anger. Scripture says, slow to wrath. It still is true that a soft answer turns away wrath. There's so much anger in the world today. So much defending of my rights and my territory. I tell you what, people, let's receive a baptism of the love of God. How do you do that? Begin to let it be part of your everyday confession. What is coming out of your mouth about yourself? The love of God is big on the inside of me. I walk in the love of God because, but the Holy Spirit through Paul says that I can walk worthy of who I am. I thank you that daily you're teaching me how to do it. And when I blow it, I'm not going to be fake or religious. I'm going to admit it to those around me, to whoever that is, tenderly, whether it's to my wife, my children, a brother, a cohort. Listen, I'll tell you something. And again, it's going to sound like I'm bragging. That's not my point, my heart at all. But I won guys to the Lord in the cowboy world that nobody else could reach at that time. Not because I was perfect, but because I was real. My own buddy, David Yates, who today is a man of God, was raised in an alcoholic home, never had been in church, came to work on our ranch right out of high school, watched me like a hawk for 4 years, and he said, Lee, you weren't perfect, and we'd laugh. Remember that time, such and such? But he said, you always made it right, and we watched you live real but consistent. The world is looking for somebody that they can trust in. And every trust is being broken all around us. And you can trust a man who says, "Don't you dare trust me," but you can trust the Jesus in me. I love what Brother Osteen, Joel Osteen's daddy, years ago when that great church moved out of the feed barn across that little road, just a few miles off the 330 loop in East Houston. He's in straight up crack town. It was crazy. You rolled up your windows and you locked your doors. I've been there many times. And when you'd slow down at the stoplights before you got to the church on that side of town, they were coming up shaking baggies in your window. That's the place where he put a church that was one of the first great mega churches, became known as the Oasis of Love, exceeded in over 8,000 in membership at that time. We're talking about way back. This is way back in the 80s and 90s. Tremendous stuff. I saw him do stuff like on a Thursday night, you know, a little crowd of 4,000 people. A guy that got saved in prison was there for the first time in years and years with a girl that had gotten saved in his church and led him to the Lord, and he'd been through, it was a tremendous testimony. And they were there for the first time in church together. I'll never forget him saying, something was said from the platform about, it was his fiance. He says, "So I understand you're getting married." And they said, "Well, that's our plans." He said, "Well, how about tonight?" And they looked around and there was a skirmish. The next thing you know, people are donating rings and pulling off expensive suit coats. The next thing you know, right there in front of us, the tears running down their face, two faces, two transformed lives as they were married on the spot. The love of God. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house as people worshiped and praised God at an impromptu wedding. Got big old boy tatted up, straight up, but the power of God all over his life. Oasis of love is what they begin to be known. I'd love for us to be known as an oasis of love. I think we have a pretty loving church. But now I know every one of us, now that we are free in grace and unafraid of God and know that He loves us, now we can objectively stand back and say, "Leaford, I don't like that about you. Lord, work in me. Let me walk worthy of who I am." I'm very glad for Jesus today. The beauty of this book, for the maturing of the saints. Do you know you were a saint? Did you know you were a saint? Holy one, set apart. Couldn't be any other way. Get the saints off your walls and start walking. For the maturing of the saints. So the saints do the work of the ministry. There's a place for training. There's a place for discipleship. But we've way in the church, way copped out. You don't see all this little cookie cutter separations that we see in churches today. He laid out the Word of God and people says, "Where can I get busy?" They weren't waiting for somebody to, or they just started loving people and make a difference. And as they grew and they were corrected by leadership, they said, "Yes, sir, thank you. I'm teachable. I'm growing. I'm going somewhere because I'm called." Come on, say it with me. I'm called. I'm anointed and appointed for a purpose. Hallelujah. For the work of the ministry. The saints. Not the pastor. The saints. For the edifying. You know what the word edify means? to build up. If you're not in a position of leadership to bring correction, your primary purpose in the body is to find something in somebody and lift them up. At a time when I didn't deserve it, I had a guy by the name of Jerry Zirkle who spoke things into my life and believed in me. He shocked me. It changed my life and stuck with me forever. One man. I'm saying my dad, obviously. But you know that as your dad, right? This is a man outside of that. He said, Lee Shaw, and he began to lay some things out. Stay with me this morning. I have something to give, something to say, somewhere to build up. Praise the Lord. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14. If ever he speaks to a generation, he speaks to this one right now in the church, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about. One of the greatest churches in the Northwest United States has had an impact in worship and in the prophetic and many things. I find it scary when one of the leaders, and I believe in them, I love them, I pray for them. This is not a criticism, but we've lost our moorings when one of the lead singers off of one of the greatest worship bands is confronted with a social issue and they can't answer on the issue of homosexuality directly, but say, I'm not sure. You read the Bible and find out for yourself. Yet we have all these huge things and you know, smoke filling up rooms and gold flakes and all kinds of stuff. Now, is some of that stuff of the Holy Ghost? I've seen the real and I've seen the other. It's immaterial. However God decides to manifest himself is up to him. We don't seek signs. We seek Jesus. Let him be who he is through us. But I'll tell you what, we need to be careful we don't lose our moorings. It's found right here. That we're not tossed to and fro. We grow up. Where does that happen? Under leadership, as we learn to submit to one another in the grace and love of God. Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believers ought to be the nicest people in town. And I'm here to tell you it's not the case. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? You sit there and look at me like that, I'm going to think you're one of them. If you're doing this, I'm no other. We're talking about somebody else. Whew, lift up your hands today. Say, Jesus, thank you. Oh, I am able to walk worthy of who I am. Listen, people, this is a journey. You're not going to get it all right in one swath. But we got to start somewhere. And Paul, by the Spirit of God, is laying some things out. Man, I guess we'll talk about love next week. I guess we went where we were supposed to go. I may love Jesus today. Just speak into your hearts. I'm so glad that I never again ever have to worry about his love for me, about my salvation, about the assurance of heaven, about his giftings within me. When I'm hitting it on L8 and when I'm failing, he doesn't change. But there's more to this thing. He can teach me to not only receive grace, but to give grace. What does that mean? I flat out didn't deserve the love and the blessing and the favor of God, That means that supernaturally God enables me to give to someone who does not deserve. Can you imagine what would happen to some marriages if the leader took the lead and gave what in his mind, through hurt and misunderstanding, he felt was not deserved, and by faith, love not with human love, but with the agape love of God. Today, where I wanted to go, I wanted to look at, can I read it before we go? I'm a little past time. Look at where we were going to go, and this is where we'll pick up next week. And then we're going to go over there and visit 1 Corinthians 13 and find out how the love of God, agape, behaves. And do a checkup from the neck up. How many are ready to get a fresh revelation? You know it's biblical? Look at what Paul says. Let's go ahead and just read it through. I'll try not to expound and preach. I don't know if it's possible. You pray for me. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wow, what a thought. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Remember us talking about that? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. In the inner man. In other words, there needs to be a strengthening and a burgeoning and an enlarging, a strengthening. Because what he's getting ready to talk about is the most powerful force in the system of God. It's who he is. He is not a God of love. John said he is agape. He's a God of many things, but he is not a God of love, for he is love. He is light. Beautiful. Be strengthened with might in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And if you go and you look at the original Greek there, he's speaking of something that he can't hardly put into words. The translators didn't know. What they're talking about is what the world today calls an epiphany. We call it a revelation. It happens only by the Spirit. As we begin to take God at his word, there is a Holy Ghost comprehension, is how this is being put. But that's revelation. He's saying the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, the answer to everything, this love, in this love, has found the force of miracles, the flow of God. When you walk in love, you're more like God in that moment than any other time in your life. When you choose to step out of love, you step away from. In love is found miracle power, healing. There are people that can't seem to get a healing in their life. And I'm convinced in many cases, because I've watched it happen, because they've gotten bitter and angry. They close themselves off. Notice I said they closed themselves off. They didn't stop God. They didn't do something that made God withhold. He does not do that. Not now under the new covenant. He fully gives. But we can cut off. Block off. And I've watched people as they begin to go, and by faith, with everything in them screaming the opposite, begin to bless those who had hurt them. Pray for them. Love them by faith. And do it until it began to be more than just a confession and an action of faith. That as they moved in the Spirit of God, you're more like God in that moment than any other time, they begin to actually feel the emotion. Do you mind if I... It's just us. I got to read this testimony. How many have heard of Corrie Ten Boom? I said I wasn't going to preach. I lied. You're going to have to forgive me. We're Grace Church. When I think of drawing on love's source, I think of Corrie ten Boom. Her family had all died in the Nazi concentration camps. Their crime? Hiding Jews in their home. Somehow Corrie survived. The war had ended, the camps had been liberated, and Corrie was speaking in various churches, sharing about God's love and faithfulness. Even in the midst of horror, she writes in her best-selling book, The Hiding Place. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, a former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time, and suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, my sister Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming, and bowing. How grateful I am for your message, Frohlin, he said. To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away. His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people in Blomendal, I hope I'm saying that right, the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Jesus, Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed the silent prayer. Jesus, I prayed, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing, as I took his hand, we've got to. This is what Paul is saying. I beg of you now, do you know what is in you and who you are? I beg of you now, walk like that. It takes action. She said, as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current. Woo! The love of God. A current seemed to pass from me to him. And while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing, that upon that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives us along with the command, the love itself. God is our source, and his supply never runs low. And when you have trouble loving someone, whether friend or enemy, ask God for the love you need. He will surely supply it, for it is in this very essence. It is in his very essence and will. Boy, that's powerful. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond your experience and what you have seen and experienced mentally and emotionally. It goes beyond all that. That you might be filled, here's the promise, filled with all the fullness of God. How many in here have a desire to be filled with all the fullness of God? Now unto him. Here's that promise. It's become cliche. This isn't cliche. It's become cliche because we forget what precedes it. He builds to this. All of this predicates what now he's going to say that is mind-boggling. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now I promise I stop. Aren't you glad we went a little longer? Stand to your feet this morning. Lift your hands up all over the room. Thank you this morning, Father, for the love of God you bestowed on us through the work of Jesus and now resides within us through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Today, Father, I thank you. Come on, are you here today? Are you here today? The most supernatural thing that could ever happen. Let's lift our hands together, shall we? Putting ourselves in a position to receive. Today we receive. No, would you say it out loud with me? We receive the love of God. I thank you today. Father, I pray as I look around the room and hands are lifted. Father, people that represent dreams and desires and people who want to make a difference, people who see your goodness and say, Lord, somehow, some way, see little flashes of maybe I could do this and maybe I could be a part of it, maybe I could do this for you. Father God, I thank you right now all over this room. If Paul prayed it, I can too. We can pray it together that every person in here, come on people, under the sound of my voice would be strengthened with might right now in Jesus' name. Strengthened with might in the inner man to be able to have a revelation, an explosive revelation of the love of God. And to begin to walk in and experience now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that's working in this room. Swirling, moving, flowing, going. Father, we thank you for that today. Teach us by your Spirit to walk like who we are. You received that this morning. Everybody shout amen. Come on all over the room. You got something to take home with you today? I pray you do. Go ahead and read forward. Let that book do a work in you. Amen. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. For all that you are. For the revelation of your love. God, who is above all, I love it. Through you all and in you all. One more time. I'm called. Anointed and appointed with a purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to worship. The front is open. If you and John could join me here, Chad and Gina. Chad, I guess Gina will continue to play here. You guys can join me. Don't leave this morning hurting or with questions. We'd love to be able to